The following is an unrehearsed interview with Iowa Senator Chuck Grassley. Participating in today's public affairs program are A.J. Taylor with KIOW Forest City and John Jensen with the Outlook Monona. A.J., can you start us off with a question for Senator Grassley?
Senator, let's talk about Israel and the fact that it seems like the present administration is kind of moving away from them, kind of distancing themselves from them, even calling for elections in the country. What are your thoughts on this? I mean, we need to have them as an ally there in the Middle East.
Let's start with October 7th and what in your last statement I agree with. Let's start with October 7th. And that's where I want people that have been coming to my office calling for a ceasefire because they want to stop the killing, particularly of innocent citizens. And I try to remind them, do you know if Hamas had not invaded Israel, there wouldn't be a certain single death occurring right now? And I just want them to wake up to the fact that Israel didn't start this. Hamas started it. And Israel has a right to defend itself. And then the bottom line answer to your question is because it started out with the United States maybe compromising its relationship with Israel, we should not do that. We should stick with our traditional, what we call a special relationship. It's not a treaty with Israel, a special relationship, and for two reasons. One, because it's in our national security interest to have a friend in that vulnerable part of the world, and second, because it's the only democracy there, and we ought to be supporting democracies around the world as much as we can, particularly this one, a very stable democracy. And we shouldn't have anybody in the American government trying to tell Israel how to fight a war to defend itself any more than we would want anybody to tell us how to fight our war if Mexico invaded the United States. And we shouldn't be telling them when to have their elections or not to have their elections. They're capable of making that decision. And this sends a signal to the rest of the world that maybe the United States is a country that our friendship can't be dependable when you have these on and off relationships with countries. We've got to have certainty if we're going to have be respected around the world.
All right, John.
Thank you, Senator. Talk about federal response to the Key Bridge collapse in Baltimore and its disruption to the international trade. What can and should the federal government be doing about this?
Well, I think that we have a responsibility, since that's an interstate highway, that we're going to pay to get the bridge done. There's one caveat on that, and that would be that if there's insurance responsibility of the shipping company for their insurance to pay part or all of it, then we shouldn't be spending taxpayers' dollars. And it's going to have a terrible economic impact on the economy of the state, the state and the nation. And there are already moves made to, obviously, these are not government decisions. They're probably private sector decisions. If you want to export or import something and Baltimore's shut down, you're going to go to New York, Philadelphia. I don't know whether there's a port in New Jersey or Charleston, South Carolina, or maybe even Savannah to take the place of it. And that's going to be at least until they clean up the debris of the falling bridge. I think the rebuilding of the bridge isn't going to affect use of the port very much, but getting that trash out of the river so you can get a big boat in and out is very essential.
All right, let's go ahead with AJ.
Senator, immigration is still on the hot topic here, and now we're learning that New Mexico is becoming the hot spot because of what Texas has done with its borders. Do you think that states have the right to protect their borders, particularly in situations like this?
The answer is yes, but let me clarify. This is a federal responsibility. It's one of the 18 powers under the federal government to regulate and make laws on immigration. We have laws against entering our country without our permission. And by the way, we are a very inviting nation. About 1 million people come here every year illegally. It's the 8 or 10 million people that have come here illegally that irritates people and has something to do with the safety of American citizens when people are raped by killed by people that come here with criminal records. None of them should be here without our permission, but for sure you should keep the criminal elements out, for sure. So anyway, then that's a federal responsibility, but the president is not enforcing the law that has been on the books for decades about entering our country legally. And since he's not going to protect the American people, I think the states under the police powers of the Constitution does have a right to step in and do it. And Texas has done it. And I hope the Supreme Court will uphold the constitutionality of that legislation. And the Iowa legislature has passed a similar piece of legislation as well. And it's probably not as important for Iowa as it is for the border states. But it also brings in the importance of finishing the wall. Not that the wall will keep everybody out, but it's going to funnel people through legal entrance and will be able to police the borders easier with a wall than without a wall.
All right, John, you can go ahead.
Last week, Senator, you talked to Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen during a Senate Finance Committee hearing on President Biden's fiscal 2025 year budget, expressing opposition to President Biden's proposals. Where are we at regarding the fiscal 2025 budget?
Well, if you're talking about the president's budget, it doesn't matter whether it's a Republican president or a Democrat president. Usually presidential budgets are dead on arrival. And even people of the political party of the president generally doesn't vote for those budgets. Presidents propose, Congress disposes, and we aren't apt to dispose. Now, it is Congress's responsibility to adopt its own budget, but the Democrats running the Senate the way it is, they're not going to go through that process. And I'm ranking Republican on the Budget Committee, and almost every meeting and every hearing of the Budget Committee we have, and most of it's on climate change, not on the fiscal issues of the federal government, I remind them that this is a Budget Committee. It's not the Environment Committee, and we ought to be dealing with a budget. But they aren't going to do it.
All right, and let's go back to AJ.
Senator, the Farm Bill is coming up here, and what are your thoughts on where this is at right now?
Boy, this question has come up at almost every one of my meetings last week, my 99-county meetings. So I have to give you this answer. We ought to be passing a 5-year Farm Bill because farmers are entitled to a long-term view and a long-term policy, which a 5-year Farm Bill does. Last year it should have been passed. It wasn't. It was a 1-year extension. And I think without movement within the Agriculture Committee within the next 2 or 3 weeks, we're going to have another 1-year extension. I wish I could tell Iowa farmers different, but what's holding it up is Republicans want more farm in the Farm Bill because we want the Farm Bill to reflect the increase in input costs to agriculture because of inflation, and the 2018 Farm Bill doesn't reflect that, and we can't get the Democrats to agree to more money for what we call reference prices, ARC and PI, PIC, if you understand those acronyms. And that's a sad commentary that we can't get a five-year farm bill.
All right, and this will be the last question. John, you can go ahead.
Senator Joe Lieberman passed away overnight as a result of complications from a fall. What do you remember about Senator Lieberman, about working with him, and any relationship you might have had with him?
Just a gentleman. A gentleman senator. Always kind. Always willing to listen. Always willing to work in a bipartisan way. He would not fit in to the Senate of 2024 that is so left-wing, so progressive, that the government is the answer to every problem in the United States. He would look for a private sector response before he would look for government to solve some problem. But he was a friend as far as I'm concerned, and very astute senator.
Thank you, AJ and John, for participating in today's public affairs program. This has been Senator Chuck Grassley reporting to the people of Iowa.